Know we have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
I thank God for you guys. I thank God for your prayers. I thank God for the fellowship that we would get to have. And if you're putting on a front, you're putting on a good one that you might like me a little bit. And because I sure love you guys. I come here with love in my heart for you guys. I don't ever come here with awe or like I got vengeance or anything else like that in my heart. You're not going to preach to get vengeance. That's never my motive coming here. I love you guys, and I love to just give you what God has given me. And I believe a man ought to preach what he goes through to help others. And most of 90% of the messages, probably 99% of the messages that I preach, I've already been there. I'm going through it. I'm working on it. And so therefore, I like to preach them. And so I do thank you guys, and I am so appreciative that today I do not have to worry about my soul going to hell.
Amen.
I get to live in eternity with Jesus Christ, and I'm so thankful that he's died for me. And Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful and reflect, but we often become thankful on just the earthly possessions, the people, the things that we have, and yet we forget about the one who gave all so that we can have all that we have.
Right.
And Thanksgiving to a Christian ought to reflect more than just those earthly things that we have, those earthly things that we possess.
Right.
It ought to be about what Jesus Christ has done for us and what he's given us through the ages. We don't deserve anything that we have. But yet we as Christians, right, Brother Nick, we live like we deserve what we have.
Yeah.
You know when we realize we've lost something? It's when something is taken from us.
Yeah.
Right? We're just talking about something, Brother Nick, and I appreciate you sharing that with me, but you really realize when something's not there, what you've lost, maybe you ought to be thankful for it's gone.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that
to
you guys. I'm not saying that to you guys.
I hear you.
But I'm just telling you, we ought to be thankful because one day it may not be. And so anyway, I am thankful for New Life Baptist Church. I'm thankful for every one of you. All have a special, different place in our heart. And they all mean something to us, and we do pray for this church often. I may not always know what to pray for, but I do pray for it collectively. God knows what's going on here. He knows each and every suffering and trials and tribulations, and so we pray for that and pray for you guys because we believe that it's beyond just us coming here as a preacher, but that there's a real fellowship here. There's a real relationship that we have with you folks. We've been invited in most of your homes, and we've been to your places and such, and so that's special because when we go to places, that's not the norm. That's not the norm. We don't always experience that. Matter of fact, there's people that we've been to churches, many churches, and we don't even know the preacher's wife. We don't know anything about them. I mean, there's no fellowship with the people. They come to church, they hear us preaching, and boom, they're all gone, and we're like, well, I thought we were having fellowship with some people, you know. We're looking for some people to fellowship with, and they're just gone. They don't do that. It's impersonal, you know. It's not like that with you guys, and so we appreciate that. And so if you would, turn with me to the book of Leviticus, and let's get into the Word of God here for a few minutes. And Leviticus chapter 20. I love the book of Leviticus. There's a lot to it, a lot we can learn from it. And people say, well, you don't need the Old Testament, then why did God give it to us?
That's right.
He gave us the whole book from the beginning to the end, okay? And, look, you know, when I met my wife, I wanted to know everything about her. The colors she liked, the food she didn't like. I wanted to know everything about my wife. Well, with the Bible, God has given us the Old and New Testament so we can know everything about him. Okay? Why wouldn't we want that, okay? And so Leviticus kind of it's a wonderful book, and I love to study Leviticus. And so let's go to Leviticus chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 7. And look what it says here. It says, sanctify them. It says, set apart yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. Why? For I am the Lord your God. And he said to sanctify yourself. Hey, look at, let me just say this. To sanctify means to set yourself apart. But what's going on today is that people have so much of the world in their heart, they can't sanctify God in their heart. You can't sanctify yourself with this when it's full of the world. You got to put the world in its place. Jesus Christ should have the preeminence in our life. That means he ought to have first place in all things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter about my wife and my children, they know this. When I have God in his right place, which is first, they reap the benefits. When I have them above God, well, they know. They know that trouble's coming. It ain't right with God. They don't mind giving up first place for me to have God first place. A Christian family, a Christian woman, a Christian husband, they will feel comfortable about having God where he belongs and the family where they belong. But that's not how it is today. Family first, then God. That's not how God ordained it.
That's right.
And so it says, sanctify the Lord God and be ye holy. And I just want to look on that little phrase there, be ye. Do you understand that be in that in our Bible, it's a commandment of God? And ye means it's not just one person, it's plural, it's all of us. God has given us commandments in his Bible to do these things. Be ye is in your Bible 67 times. He's given us 67 commands to do. It's not an option. When you see be ye, he doesn't say, well, just do that if you feel like it. Oh, no. That means you will do these things. I've given you command. He says, be. Well, it's a cuss word in the churches today, Lucille. When you talk about being holy. Since when did God tell us to stop being holy? He told us to be a sanctified and set apart people. He gave us a command. He says, be ye sanctified. Be holy, for I am the Lord thy God. He just gave us a direct command from God to be holy, to be separate, to be sanctified. That doesn't mean going around walking with your nose up in the air and being conceited against. No, it means being able to walk differently than everybody else. Being able to go out there and work in your job and those people know you, they go, man, there's something different about that guy. I remember working, and at my job place, I never went and told anybody that I was a Christian. I've never done that. All I did was repel them from me. I wanted them to come to me, not run from me. But I lived in such a way that I had a girl who had more tattoos than I'll ever have in my body. I mean, she was covered in them. And she came up to me one day, and she said, there's something different about you. I go, what do you think that is? Because I did everything by the books. God, when he gave me the position that I had as a manager, and there was a book, an outline that I'm supposed to follow, I did it by that. Because I knew that people were watching me. And I remember one day, I said, you know what? I'll clean that a later date. And I remember the Holy Ghost stopping me in my tracks and said, you'll go do it now because people are watching. And we'll go back over there and I clean that. And she walked up to me and she said, there's something different about you. I said, well, what do you think that is? And she said, I think you're a Christian. Be ye holy. Be ye sanctified. Why? Because you don't always have to go out there and tell somebody you're a Christian. They ought to be able to pick up on that. Our conversation, that means our lifestyle, should reflect what's in our hearts. It should reflect that we're Christians. It should reflect that we go to church. It should reflect that we listen to what this Bible says. It's not an option, is it? He says, be ye. That means you have to be. It's a command. Be ye holy. Well, be ye is 27 times in the Old Testament, 34 times in the New Testament. I love word studies. I like knowing how many things are in there and why they're in there, because God gave that to me as a gift. He gave that to me to dig out as a treasure. If I said, hey, underneath this floor here, well, underneath the floor in the basement, I believe that's cement.
Yes.
If I said there's gold bullion, probably about $2 million worth of gold bullion, and we can have it, but you can only use your fingertips to get to it, we'd all be bleeding right now digging for it. But if I tell you there's gold sitting right there in that King James Bible, why aren't we doing the same? It's a reality. That thing is laden with treasures. And it's wonderful when God gives it to you. And you can get in there and dig it. And guess what? It's never going to end, because as long as we live on this earth, we'll never understand it. We'll never know it all. But he's given us the ability to go out and find out those mysteries and dig for those treasures. And he blesses us with them. Don't you want to know what God says? I do. I need it. I need God on a daily and sometimes a minute-by-minute basis. There's times that I need him in that situation. So what would I want to know? Well, B is a command. Ye is plural, meaning all of us. I can't go to them all, but turn with me to 2 Chronicles. I'll share a few with you. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. He says to be sanctified, be holy. Right? And that's a cuss word in most churches today, because nobody wants to live holy. That means you have to live differently than you want to. Let me repeat that. To live holy means you have to live differently than you want to. Understand this. This book goes against everything we are. Being saved goes against everything that we were naturally born into with a sin nature. These are hard things to do. But God didn't say, well, do it if you feel like it's easy. It's why we needed God. Oh, don't you remember when you needed God? When was the last time you said, man, God, I really need you? We need God every day, guys.
Yes.
Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And we'll go to verse 7. It says, be ye weak. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. He said, stay strong in that thing that you're doing. Whatever it is, whether you're called to preach, then be strong in that thing. Don't be weak in it. Or whether you're called to go out there and work a job and be out there in society, be strong in it. Don't let your hands be weak. Comes a hard time where you're going to have to make decisions. What are you going to do? Are you going to be weak, or are you going to let your hands be strengthened by God? Stop trying to strengthen your hands on your own. It's a reason why we need God. It's a reason why we cry out and say, God, I need you. Have we, Lord, we just pray for the fire engine and the ambulance and whoever's going to that, my God, wherever that's going to, we pray that you be with them. Be merciful, Lord. Rescue that one that needs to be rescued. Help that one that needs to be helped. In Jesus' name, amen. We do that as a family. We hear or see fire engines or whatever, we just stop and pray. But be strong in that thing. You know what the problem today, Nick, is? We got these biological males. They say they're men. But they're weak. Their hands are not, they're not strong. They've not strengthened their hands in the Lord. They're little effeminate weaklings. Man up. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong, he said. We need men today. We don't need little biological males. We need men. We need men who are going to stand for the things of God. Men who are going to stand for this Bible. Stand for those things that are holy. Stand for those things that are righteous. Be strong. Be strong. Men at one time used to be known as strong. You look at today and you go, my goodness, if that's strong, I don't want to be it. Brother Scott, I was just talking about you and your family earlier. I commend you for being a strong man, teaching your boys how to have that character, how to have that work ethic. I know it didn't come easy. I know mistakes were made there. That's all. But you were strong. You let God strengthen your hand to teach them that. Would to God we'd have more men stand up and teach their young men and teach their daughters how to be strong. Said we falter and fail. Well, be strong, he says in that. Therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Don't you want that reward from God? Didn't we just hear about that reward from Mother Skip singing? That we're going to get up into eternity and God's going to have a reward for us. You know why we don't look for that reward anymore, Lucille? Because we're too busy building up treasures here. Maybe God ought to start stripping our treasures away from us here. We might long for those treasures that are up in eternity waiting for us. Well, like I said, I can't go through them all. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Love studying this out, man. It was a wonderful thing for me, just God showed me some characteristics, some things that he wants me to be. You know, God wants us to be these things. He don't want you to just come and hear the voice that's coming from behind the pulpit. If you know Charlie Brown and all that, you know the teacher that was out there, wah, 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 wah. Don't let that be that. Listen to what God's saying. Be something. Pick something out. Maybe he's got something for you. If you come to church and you come every week and after week after week and you can't pull one thing out of a sermon, what's wrong with you? It's not because there's anything wrong with the Bible. It's you're not either not paying attention, or you're not expecting God to tell you anything, or maybe you just don't want to hear what God has to say to you. There are hard things that God has to say. There are hard things in my life that God has had to tell me in my life. We thought they were good and healthy things, and God said, those are not for you. Well, God, no, Dale. We've had to hear those things, and thank God we heard it, maybe before it was too late. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Look what it says. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. You go, man, I can't be perfect. We're not meant to be perfect. But you know what that means? To be mature. Every single time a storm or a trial or a tribulation comes, when we start learning how to handle that thing, the next time that thing comes, we ought to be more mature in that thing. We ought to be more perfect in that thing. We ought to strive to handle that better than we did the last time. That means to be mature while we're trying to become perfect like God. We're working and we're striving. We can't ever be that on earth. Look, if you think you can be perfect here, you're crazy. You must not recognize your own sin nature. And you ought to go ahead and get a hold of God and let him tell you about that sin nature. Because with that sin nature in you, even with Jesus Christ, you won't be perfect. But we ought to strive that way.
Yeah.
We ought to strive to be like our Father in heaven. But you know what most people are striving to be like? Either their earthly father or the devil. Those are the two fathers they're trying to, that's what they're trying to look like. Now there's nothing wrong with your boys looking like you, Brother Scott. And grown up that way, but my goodness, they ought to have God as their father. Be ye perfect. Be mature, even as your Father in heaven, which is perfect. And this is a command that he's given us to be this. We ought to sanctify our lives, sanctify our minds, sanctify our children. We ought to be in prayer for our children, even when hard things come. How many of you are fasting for your children, whether they live at home or not live at home? I still fast for my children. They're still at home, but I still fast for them. Why? Because they're going to face spiritual things. They're going to get themselves in places with decisions that they make that they don't understand. And we ought to tell God, look at how serious we are, Lord. We're going to give up this. We're going to stop this. We're going to do a fast because we want you to see that we're serious about our children. There's some things going on. Get a hold of God. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Again, it's Bible exercise to keep us awake, especially when you're fighting the heaviness of food after lunch. It's hard to stay awake. We have a 1 o'clock service right after lunch at our church. And I tell you what, man, people are like, you know, their heads are bobbing. And so get them turning to the Bible. Let them keep them awake. Mm-hmm. Get them turning to the Bible. Do some Bible exercise. Matthew chapter 10. Look at what it said here. Let me get there. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. He says, behold, I. Now, Jesus Christ is doing this willingly. Jesus Christ is willingly sending his disciples out into this situation. Everybody thinks that God is going to redirect us. No, there's times that God's going to bring us into a place. He's going to put us in a position where we're faced with something. He's got a purpose. He's God. Don't you think Jesus Christ knows what he's doing here? Of course he does. Don't he know what he's doing in your life? Of course he does. Look what it says here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He's willingly doing that. He's purposely putting you out there. Why? What is he saying? Because you're going to learn something in there. He says you're going to be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know what a snake does? It's always trying to avoid something.
It's always trying to run away. It don't want to get stepped on. It don't want to get run over. It's trying to hide in the darkness. He says, be that one who's always bobbing and weaving so you don't get stepped on. Be that serpent who's out there, who's looking ahead of himself. That snake, when he's crawling, he's watching everything. He don't want a bird to come down and grab a hold of him. So he's watching his surroundings, but yet he's going. He says, be as that serpent. But it doesn't go in there and tell you to bite people, deceive people as the serpent did in the garden. He says, be as gentle as a dove. Go in there and be kind to it. You ever watch a dove? People don't run from doves. They want to run to them. They want to see that white, beautiful bird that's sitting there. How many people came knocking at your door this week want what you have? Huh? I'm not talking about your physical things. I'm talking about how many people came knocking at you, or how many people walked up to you at work or in the store and said, hey, man, I've been watching you. I'd sure like to have what you have spiritually. What do you have there? Most of us are unapproachable. Why? This is how we are in a church. You see that person just cut off? Look at that. Can you believe that person did that to me? Oh, I can't. Can't be that person cut me off. Who are they? He tells us to go out among the wolves. But you know what the funny thing is? He tells us to dress up as sheep. Go out there and look like a sheep amongst the wolves. What do wolves do to sheep, by the way?
Devour.
They will devour you. They will devour you if you don't handle it the way God said. It will take you apart. And he tells you to go out there amongst this world, and I want you to live amongst these sinners. I want you to live amongst the world, but I want you to be wise as a serpent. Don't let it get you. Don't let it get a hold of you. Don't let the world get a hold of it. Don't let it do it. But look at, handle it the right way. Don't do it the wrong way. Be ye. He says, Matthew 24:44. Look at Matthew 24:44. I'm not going to do all of them, but I'm going to do some of them here. And I want you to get the gist of this. These are characters that we ought to have about ourselves. These are commands that God has given us on how we ought to act as a Christian. Matthew 24, we'll go to verse 44, and look what he says here. Therefore also, I said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. How many of you think today you're really ready for Jesus to come back, just as you are, with whatever thoughts are in your heart, whatever's going on in your life? How many of you really think you're ready for Jesus to come back right now? He says, live all the time like he's getting ready to come back. Are you having problems making decisions in your life? Then think about if Jesus comes back as soon as you make that decision. And you're going to stand there before him. Ouch. Thank God you're saved if you're saved. Because I'm telling you right now, you make that decision that Jesus Christ come back, you'll have to answer for that. Well, I'm not going to hell. Oh. You know what your thought's going to be as soon as you see Jesus? You're going to fall at his feet. And you think that you're going to have an excuse of why you did what you did? Oh, no, my friend. You know what the problem is today? We don't live like we believe Jesus is really going to come back. Oh, that'll happen in, 15, 20 generations. How do you know that horn, that trumpet may not blow right now? He says to be ready, to live like you're ready, that Jesus Christ is going to come back, that trumpet's going to sound, and you're going to be out of here. And you're going to stand before that king. How are you going to answer for that? Well, are you ready? You say, Dale, you think you're ready? Probably not. See, the thing is, I'm honest with myself. Every day I get up and I'm honest with myself. Every day I get up and I say, Lord, you know the kind of position I'm in right now. You know the thoughts that are going through my mind. You know what I'm struggling with. Lord, you know what's going on, what decisions I have to make. Help me in this because I am weak. I need your strength, because it says I can do all things in your strength, not my strength, in your strength. Therefore, I need your strength to get me through a day. And before I read my Bible, I like to prepare my heart before I read that Bible. Not, not something you have to do. But why would I try to get into my Bible with all that stuff in my heart and think that I'm going to get something out of it? Is your reading becoming dry and dull? Why don't you start thanking God before you start reading? Why don't you start praising Him for the Word of God before you start reading? Get your heart prepared and get that stuff out of there, and then come to God in that Word and see what He does with you, man. See how much better your Bible reading becomes. Well, Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. We're just going to read a few more of these, and then we'll get out of here, because I think you see the point. But look, every one of these are different points. Go study that word, be ye. Put it in there and look up. Just be ye. That's all you're going to look up is be ye. And it's in there 67 times. And I'll tell you what, you'll get a blessing out of it. If you don't get a blessing out of it, it's not the Word of God's fault, it's yours. If you can't find a blessing in the Bible, you ever read Chronicles? There's blessings in there. People go, those are some of the most boringest books on the planet. Oh, it's God's Word you just said that about. There's treasure in there. How much of that treasure do you want? How much are you willing to dig through all those names you can't even pronounce? You try to pronounce them, it's like speaking another language. Oh, think what you about? Yeah, that's not how it's said, okay? But that's how we do it. But you know what? There's treasure in that. There's joy in that. Go follow some of those trails of those people's names. Obed Shittim. Anybody know Obed Shittim? Go study. Go study him. How well is he, huh? Obed Shittim.
Obed Edom.
Obed Edom. Obed Edom.
Yeah.
Why is he Shittim?
I don't know.
Obed Edom. Anybody know Obed Edom? What a story Obed Edom has. If you don't know it, go search it out. And I'm telling you right now, it's a one. Well, you got to want it. Anyway, what I say it was Mark chapter 13, verse 7. Look what it says here. Mark 13, 7. And when you shall hear the wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. He says, be ye not troubled. Boy, I ain't never seen so many Christians troubled over what's going on in the world today. Like God doesn't know what's going on. Like God didn't know Joe Biden was going to be president.
Right. Amen.
Says, why does this bother you? How big is your God? It doesn't matter who's in the... It doesn't matter if Trump gets back in. He's not going to change nothing. We're heading into the end times. So what's it matter? But I've never seen so many troubled Christians in my life. He says, be not troubled. These things are supposed to happen. Jesus Christ said, before it all comes to an end, this is what's going to happen. That's a prophecy in our Bible. So we ought to be going, you know what? Thank God it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
Not, well, you know, gosh, I can't believe so-and-so and such. You ain't going to stop it. You ain't going to stop it. So here's what you worry about. Worry about the people that you know that are lost getting saved. Why don't you do that before that trumpet comes? Before he blows it and the end is here and it's too late, your loved ones bust hell wide open. Why don't you worry about something more important? He says, don't be troubled about that. Man, do I worry about any of that, Amy? I don't have to take an aspirin to go to sleep at night because of that. What, do you vote? Sure I do. Does it make a difference? No. We're heading to the end. Jesus Christ said these things are going to happen. Don't be troubled. If you're troubled in these things and all people hear about you is complaining about them, I'm telling you right now, the outside lost world will never come to you for prayer. You can have that. You can talk amongst your spouse. You can talk amongst people, some people about that stuff. But be careful what you talk about outside the church house. It has an impact on whether people get saved or not. Don't let these things trouble you. COVID. People didn't run to Christians. They ran from them. Why? Because they seen how big our God really was in our eyes. We were just as fearful as the unsaved people. We were just as fearful as everybody else out there, and they all saw that. Now Christians are a laughing stock.
Yeah.
What's coming next, Nick? Honest to goodness, what's coming next? That was just a trial run right there with COVID.
Right. Yeah.
You know what he says? Be not troubled. Be not troubled. These things must come to pass. It must be, but the end is not yet. He said, endure those things. Put up with them. I know it's hard. I agree with you. I stand with you. Man, I'm against everything Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and everybody else stands for. I am not for any of that. But man, what am I going to do? Change that? No, God done that. It says that all authority is appointed by God. All. He wanted that. Why? For a judgment on America. America has turned itself over to the Sodomites, and God has turned America over to itself.
Yep.
And we're not going to do nothing about it. So don't be troubled about it. Pray about it. Of course, pray about it. Pray about those things, but don't let it trouble you. He says, don't be troubled by those things. Luke chapter 6. Look what he says here in Luke chapter 6, and we'll go to verse 36. So we're not to be troubled, okay, over these things. Bring them to prayer. Let God take care of what he's going to take care of, because he's going to take care of it. He's the one ultimately going to do what he's got to do. Luke 6, verse 36. Look what it says. Be therefore merciful. Oh, goodness, that's another cuss word. It's hard to be merciful to people today. We don't want to be merciful to people. That means I have to give up myself to be merciful unto somebody. That means I can't worry about my desires and what I want to be merciful unto somebody else. But he says in verse 36, he says, be merciful as your Father is also merciful. How can we read this Bible and hear such words as that and yet not go out there and do it? Do we believe it or not? Be ye poor, pure, be ye sanctified, live, be holy, be merciful, don't be troubled. All these things he's telling us that we ought to do. Be ye a command for us as Christians to live these things, to go out there and become these, but yet why aren't we living it? Why don't we take this, well, I love the King James Bible, it's the pure word of God. Sounds wonderful. But how much of that pure of God are you implementing in your life? That's the reality. That's the challenge set forth here. Anytime a preacher gets behind this pulpit and preaches that word of God, there's a challenge being put out there for you, for your good. Be merciful. Well, a few more. Look at Romans chapter 12. You go, I know what Romans, chapter 12, 1 and 2 says. You know, that's the problem with American Christians today. They know the Bible so much, they don't know how to live it. They become disgruntled when somebody gets up there and repeats a verse. Well, let me just tell you this. According to Psalm chapter 138 and verse 2, this King James Bible sitting on a pulpit in heaven, it'll be there for eternity. So if you don't like it now, you won't like it in heaven. It's not going to change.
No.
It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. So I don't care if a message has been preached out of these verses a million times. If you can't get something out of them, it's not because there's something wrong with the Bible. It's because there's something wrong with your prideful, hard heart. That's a reality. Don't let these verses, look, the devil wants nothing more, Brother Cobb, then repeat a verse to you, and you become to that point where you go, man, I've heard that verse 100 times. He'd love for you to come to that point. Why? Because then you'll miss everything God's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Don't ever get that way with the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 2, 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. That means to become something different than you are. Thank God that when I got saved, God showed me how to transform my life from my life, from my ways to his. Now that's easy for me to see. That's easy for you to hear from my story and where I came from. But do you know church people that grew up in church your whole life, he still wants you to be transformed? He don't want you to stay the same that you are today?
Amen. Amen.
If you think God is just going to have you put this thing in neutral and you coast out of here, you're crazy. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your thinking. How do I change my thinking? Well, let's get back to the Bible again, and this is what's going to change our thinking. There was a term that they used to use in AA and NA. It's called stinking thinking. That's what we have as lost people. Stinking thinking. So what's going to change our thinking? We're not going to change our thinking. If you think that you're going to change your thinking, here's the challenge I set forward for you. I want you to quit church, close up your Bible, and don't come for a year. Let's see where you're at in a year. Don't come to church. Close that Bible up and interpret things on your own and see where you're at. It only have to take a year, does it, Nick? It's a sad fact. It's why we need God. It's why we need this Bible, and we ought to take it serious. And I'm not taking, look, I'm not saying take it serious lightly. We go, I'm serious about this, but we hold it so lightly. We esteem it so lightly, but yet we say, man, we are dead serious. And then when God sets forth a challenge or something comes about, we see where we really stand. Look, at God's trying to show us our heart. He's trying to show us exactly where we stand in this thing. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not handle things. Do not live. Do not walk. Do not talk. The way that you used to, those things are changing. Why? Because he says, transform. Live amongst the wolves as a sheep. Go out there and live in this world so that they can look. It says that you are supposed to be a light in this world. What kind of light are we being? I just want to read a few more, and then I'm going to close with this, okay? Let's go to 1 Peter. Two more, and then we're going to be done. Go study this out. Go look it up, and I think you'll enjoy it. I'm not going to finish it all here because there's a lot here. But go look up Be Ye and just see what God has for you, how he wants you to implement things in his life, in your life. Why he gives us a command to do these things. In 1 Peter, I got to get there, I'm running my mouth. 1 Peter chapter 1, and look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16, I think it is. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in the things that you feel like that you want to do. That's your own version of the Bible. That is not what God said. He says, be ye holy. He says, in verse 7, where am I, verse what?
15.
16, I'm sorry. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, verse 15. But as he had said, called you as holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means your whole lifestyle. Why? Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We are to emulate God. We are to emulate Jesus Christ. We are to do those things. How do we become that then? How do we emulate him? He's not standing here in front of me, isn't he? According to John chapter 1 and verse 14, he says that he is the Word of God in the flesh. Here's Jesus Christ right here in written word. Isn't that wonderful that God gave that to us? Gave us an instruction manual on how to run our marriage, honey. How to run our life and raise our beautiful daughter. Well, all right, last one. 1 Peter chapter 4, last one. Look what it says here. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. We just talked about the end being at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That doesn't mean just to abstain from drugs and alcohol. That means keep your thinking clear. You can look at something and it can cloud your thinking. You can hear something and it'll cloud your thinking. You can laugh at a joke you know you should not be laughing, and now your thinking is not sober. It's not clear anymore. So how do you think you're going to handle things? You're going to handle things the way you used to handle them. But when you have sober thinking,
That's why Paul, over and over in the New Testament, he doesn't warn you to protect your heart against the devil, but your thoughts. Because your heart's already apt to go the way of the devil. Our hearts are desperately wicked above all things. That includes the devil. If our heart and the devil were to meet in a dark alley, the devil would have to bow down to our hearts. That's how wicked our hearts are. So our hearts are already apt to go out there and live in sin. So what does he say? Be sober. Watch your thinking. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful how you talk. Men, be careful how you treat your wife. God holds you accountable. If you go, why isn't God hearing my prayers? Because of the way you treat your wife, the way you talk to her. You can't just handle her any way you want. God is giving you an instruction on how to handle her. I've never seen a day and age, Jeremy, where I've seen men take the gift that God has given them and treat it like such garbage. God forbid. You men, God will close them prayers up on you. You ought to treat your wives like God wants you to. And he says this, be sober and watch unto prayer. We know the world, Miss Jean, is not going to watch unto prayer. The world isn't going to keep their mind sober. But God expects his children to do so. Ought we not do that, brother? I'm done. Thank you. Appreciate it.